This is Talking Business. My next guest is Stuart Elmsley, who is the CEO of Open Universities Australia. G'day, Stuart. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much.
Now, Stuart, is Open Universities Australia a university?
No, we're not a university. We're actually a sales and marketing arm for our university partners. We don't do any teaching and learning. And more recently, we've evolved our business to becoming a marketplace for the accessing of higher education in Australia.
What does that mean?
Well, it means that we have our university shareholders and we have their product on our platform, but probably 18 months ago, we opened up our platform to bring on more university partners and make their product available on our platform as well.
What do you mean by a platform?
So it's a digital platform where we have in excess of, I think now, because it's changing by the day at the moment, but in excess of about 200 degrees available, both undergraduate and postgraduate, and in excess of about 1,400 to 1,500 individual units of study.
So does your platform actually provide the courses that are supplied by the universities that you partner with?
So our platform enables students to firstly explore the variations in the different types of courses that might be of interest to them.
Oh, okay.
And then what we then do as a managed service on behalf of our university partners is to manage their application into those courses and then ultimately enrol them into those courses. At that point, the student picks up a direct relationship with each of the universities.
Right. And so are you a cost centre or a profit centre?
Well, we consider ourselves a not-for-loss organisation.
Not-for-loss.
A not-for-loss.
Love it.
So we don't mind making a profit, but we're actually not-for-loss. So what we try to do is ensure that we use the resources that we have available to us to maximise the impact that we can make in terms of the number of students that we can deliver.
So if you're not-for-loss, you must be making a revenue to pay for your staff.
We make a revenue, and what we do is when we deliver a student to a university, we take a clip of the ticket in terms of a fee for finding and enrolling that in student.
Oh, okay, righto.
Yeah.
And so do you work for universities other than your shareholders?
Yes, we do. So we have 13 universities on the platform. We actively started in attracting new universities sort of 12 to 18 months ago. We enrolled we onboarded ANU in December of last year, and most recently the University of Tasmania has joined us.
Right, but they didn't get to buy in.
No, they're just a partner. And
yeah.
So in the context of running a marketplace platform, we have all of our partners on the same terms and conditions.
Yeah, right.
So our shareholder universities don't receive preferential commercial terms. It's the same for all partners on the platform.
Right. Huh. Hmm. And we perhaps should run through your shareholders. Curtin, Griffith, Macquarie University, Monash, RMIT, Uni of South Australia and Swinburne.
That's right.
And you haven't got like the big ones, Melbourne, Sydney, UNSW?
Not yet, but we would certainly welcome them if they would like to join us.
So what do they
do?
I mean, what do they do for the stuff that you do for your shareholders and partners? What are those ones who aren't part of your network?
So in many respects,
do they have something else?
So most universities, well, in fact, all universities have their own direct-to-market student acquisition activities. We see ourselves as a complementary channel for all university partners. So whilst universities are out there trying to attract students, and I'm sure that you see their marketing and advertising in market, we see ourselves as complementary to that. So often what we, under a national brand, are able to do is deliver students that sometimes state brands can't attract. So we find across our portfolio anywhere between 70 and 90% of the students that we deliver to our university partners actually come from outside of that university's home state. So we amplify their brands to a national audience very effectively.
Right. Because you were saying before we started the interview that you've got quite a few staff. How many? 220.
So about 220, yep.
So that's a lot of people. What do they all do?
Well, we run a pretty significant contact centre. That probably accounts for about half of them. And in the contact centre, we have quite a lot of student advisors. And student advisors are working the phones and working live chat and helping students through the process of appraising all of the options that are out there, clarifying differences between the courses, talking them through the various funding models that are available to them, and then ultimately managing their replication through to the university partners through to an enrolment.
Interesting. So, and what about you? You've appointed CEO in January this year.
That's right.
How long have you been with Open Universities?
So I've been with Open Universities for 5 years, actually on the knocker in October of this year. So I've had a couple of roles with OUA. I originally came in, my background was in sort of professional services, predominantly in banking, and I was looking for a bit of a change, something that was a little bit more values aligned, but also wanted to be, I think, in a dynamic sector, and I think that education ticks many of those boxes for me personally. I came into the organisation essentially in a commercial advisory role, and the business had just made an acquisition at the time with E3 Learning, which was a business out of Adelaide in the space of corporate and compliance training. I got put in to run that business when the managing director of that business moved on after an earn-out period. I ran that business for a couple of years. We sold that business to City and Guilds probably 2 years later.
To who?
City and Guilds, which is a UK training online training organisation. Right. I took on the role of CFO at that point in time. So I was in the role of CFO and Executive General Manager of Corporate Services for a couple of years until the CEO moved on at the end of 2017. And I took on an interim role as CEO for 9 months and was just recently appointed permanent.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
So where's the university business heading? I mean, is it, firstly, is it a business?
Look, we see ourselves as an organisation that really is about delivering value to our university partners. And yes, we have to manage many elements of that as a business, but we also see ourselves as having a very strong equity and access mandate. We are able to deliver our university partners certain types of students that, you know, that they also may not necessarily be able to attract on their own steam. So regional and remote students, low SES students, a lot of part-timers. We have a product within our offering called Open Access, which enables you to study undergraduate or postgraduate on a unit-by-unit basis. So it means that you don't actually have to enrol in the degree program. You can actually just sign up for a unit, see whether or not that's something that you like, and provided you meet the university standard and pass the unit, you can continue on into a degree program. So we think that there's enormous potential there, given the often chunking down of product that you'll see across many other industries. iTunes, I think, being the classic example of what happened in the music industry. A lot of that's actually playing out in education, and I think that, you know, the Australian brand of education is very strong. I think that we punch well above our weight internationally. I think we're the third, nudging the second most desirable location for international students globally to want to study, behind the UK and the US. And so I think for such a small nation, our brand of education is really strong.
Do you get involved in international recruitment?
You know, funnily enough, we've not done much at all in the space of international. We're predominantly a domestic channel for our university partners. But in more recent times, some of our partners have been engaging us in discussions around how we might be able to help them in that regard.
So OUA has been around for 25 years, I think.
It's our 25th birthday this year.
25 years this year. So obviously before the internet, really.
That's right.
So obviously one change to the way it operates is that it's become digital.
Yes.
And presumably was set up to be analog.
That's right.
To begin with.
We started out, actually, I think, late night on the ABC and SBS, sort of one-hour spots on TV. Two-hour spots on TV on a Saturday
Doing
night.
What?
Delivering higher education to, you know, a broader audience using television as the medium.
Oh, I see. So yeah. you were delivering.
That's right.
Teaching.
That's right.
Right. But you're not doing that anymore.
No. So again, we were facilitating the delivery of it to the audience. We weren't managing a TV studio or anything like that. But what we were doing was opening up the audience, the Australian audience, via that medium.
Right, but still, doing stuff like that.
That's right.
What other ways has OUA changed?
Well, we went, so, I mean, we did really well up until probably about 2010, 2011, had significant growth. In many respects, we were the only game in town when it came to university level education online. And but, you know, as technology advances, the universities started to get into the game themselves. And when you couple with the fact that around 2012, the caps came off on CSP places, it meant that our open access proposition became somewhat diluted. And we went down the path of becoming a diversified education services provider. So we actually went into the space of delivering teaching and learning, and we set up our own learning management system, and we started a number of businesses both in the at university level but also in the vet sector. We made the acquisition that I mentioned to you before.
And then sold it
because, you know, ultimately we went through a process with our shareholders again in 2016 where we distilled down what it was that they wanted for us to be for them. And what that boiled down to was for us to be a channel to enable them to find students and deliver them students that they wouldn't necessarily otherwise be able to attract. And so we've refocused our...
So you've really focused on being a marketing...
That's it.
...outlet.
Exactly.
Or a marketing agency for them.
That's right.
And that seems to be working. If you're picking up other universities than your shareholders, then that's obviously those outfits are choosing you.
That's right. So we made a huge investment in the replatforming of our business during 2017, and we went live with that new platform offering at the end of last year. And so that was a complete rebuild of our website and all of the supporting systems beneath that, including a student management system and a CRM and a catalogue management system. And of course, this sits across multiple universities. And so it was a necessary transition for the organisation to make in order for us to deliver on our vision of becoming a marketplace for accessing higher education.
But if you're going to become a marketplace for non-shareholder universities,
yep,
then I presume you're going to have to start throwing off some dividends to your university shareholders. Otherwise, what's the point?
Well, we're focused on growth. So at this point in time, top-line growth is our priority, and that means finding and delivering more students, which means rolling any surplus resources we have back into marketing and acquisition activity.
Right. We'll have to leave it there, Stuart.
Great. Thank you very much, Alan.
Thanks for talking to us.